Are you still living like you're married to religion and impossible standards instead of the risen Christ? Let me show you how dying to the law and being joined to Jesus changes everything, your identity, your joy, and your impact in Olympia and beyond. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I'm so glad that you're here today and we're tuning in. If you haven't checked out FPIW or FPIW Action, go to fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Today is the first day of legislative session. I know we already have bills up that you can register your position on, both on our FPIW Action website and the Washington Defender app. So I want to encourage you to jump on in and let your voice be heard in Olympia. I know within the app, if you do the autofill, you can do that within about 6 or 7 seconds. You just go on to each bill and you write register pro or con. Hey, if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, or place in that Washington Defender app in the huddle, because what we are doing on this podcast is changing our hearts so that we change the public square. Remember, the responsibility of the church and the bride of Christ is to be people of God's word. So when we are out in the public square, you know, we go from the church circle to the public square, we begin to have a heart that honors and glorifies the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the risen Savior, the Holy One, the Righteous One of Israel. So we want to be able to do that daily, on a daily basis. And in order to accomplish that, we need to get into God's Word each and every day. So we are still in our series called Sin in My Life, and today it's talking about joined to another. So we just finished Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We're going to start there and go to Romans chapter 7, verse 4. And we're going to read through the scripture once, then go back through it. And then we're going to read an extended portion out of John. I think it's chapter 15, if I'm right. So, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, we went through that, but that's the end of chapter 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may be joined to another, to him who has raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So we're going to dive into this. We're going to break it down verse by verse, line by line. But I want you to understand the concept here, the overall arching picture. Paul is going to use the idea of marriage as a covenant relationship. He's going to say, hey, just like this woman is in a covenant relationship with this man, they're bound together. And we see that the law was that covenant relationship, and they're bound to Christ. Now, Christ said himself, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. See, the entire law in the Old Testament was to point people to the coming Messiah. For the need for a Messiah, the desire to have a Messiah, and the fulfillment of the law was found, or is found, in Christ. And so we're going to break this down for just a little bit today. But he's saying basically, hey, you have died to that old religious self, and you get to walk in newness of life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the wages of sin? Death. What's the wages of God? Eternal life. And eternal life is only found through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is one way to heaven, That is through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to scriptures, and that he appeared. And so there's only one way to enter into heaven or have eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That doesn't take away the value of Israel as the chosen nation, nor the bride of Christ. It brings it all together. It shows the whole historical, because God foreseen that he would justify the Gentile by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And so the gospel has always been Jesus. It's always been the Messiah dying for mankind and resurrecting from the dead. Okay. Or do you not know, brethren, I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. So isn't this interesting? If I'm an unbeliever and I live, that law has jurisdiction over me. And at the end of my day, if I'm an unbeliever, when I die, I will stand before the courts of heaven and give an account for how I fulfilled that law. Now, many of us know that it's impossible for us to fulfill the law. Our righteousness, our self-righteousness, is as filthy rags to God. So even if I kept all of them, I would have broken at least one of them. I mean, to whatever degree I would have broken all of them. So think about this. The law has jurisdiction over us as long as we live. So we see this first thing. This law has jurisdiction over a person as long as they're alive. That is why it says that Christians are to be born again. So if you wait to death, natural death or physical death, and go to the judgment seat, there is no way to take care of that law that's been written upon your hearts and in the Word of God. But if you die to yourself now by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, when you go through and you have an earthly physical death, you stand before the kingdom of God, the throne of God, justified. Romans 7:2, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So the law is there as our schoolmaster or our tutor to point us to Christ. And as long as we are bound to that law, as long as we say, hey, this religious practice saves us, that religious practice saves us, all these things, and we miss the entire message of Jesus, the Messiah, dying on the cross, God himself incarnate, dying on the cross for our sins, we miss the entire point. So what does it say? The married woman is bound by law to her husband. Okay, so if we're married to the law, and he's making an argument to people who know the law, who would say, I'm married to the law. I don't need a Messiah. I don't need Jesus. I walk in the fullness of the law. If her husband dies, she is released from that. In other words, We have to be released from this law because we cannot fulfill it in ourselves. Now look at this, verse 3. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress though she is joined to another man. So he's saying, here's the outcome statement. So then, if while her husband is living, she's joined to another man. In other words, if you're trying to fulfill the law and you're joined to your breaking of the law, then you're an adulterer. Not only an adulterer, but you're an idolater. You have idolatry and adultery in your life. You have a love for something and you're worshiping something other than the King of Kings and Lord of the Lords. And that is why he's using this example of marriage as trying to embrace the law, but also embrace religion, embrace all these things, and trying to do it our own way, to work our way to heaven. The message of faith came before the law. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. That was before Moses, hundreds and hundreds of years before Moses. And so he says, let's be clear about this. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. She is not an adulteress, though she is joined. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. Now look at this. Is interesting. This is like blows my mind away, because when you can get a hold of this, when we die with Christ, remember, if you read through Romans 6, that whole entire chapter is about dying with Christ and being buried with Christ so that you may be resurrected with Christ and show your newness of life to others. He says, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the law, so that you might be joined to another. You are not married to that old religious practice, that old religious law, any longer. And so he's painting a picture for us that we can understand. When Christ went on the cross and he died for this, our sins, he died with the law, right? Died to the law. So he might be joined to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit, the fruit of God. So let's break this down. Therefore, because of all this, what we just read, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. So you're dead to the law. And this is where he's arguing. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? May it never be. God forbid. You've died to it. How can you live it any longer? He's saying, listen, you've died to all that old religious stuff, but you've been made alive to Christ so that you might be joined to another. You have been joined to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't think about this often, but we are the bride of Christ. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you have faith in Jesus Christ and you have been drawn to him through his grace, you've repented of your sin. God says that you are his bride. You've been joined to another. Once you were joined to the law or to those things of the law, but now you're joined to Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. So that we might be joined to another, him who was raised from the dead, Jesus, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So now he's bringing the argument back from Romans. He's saying, chapter 6, he's saying, should we go on sinning? No, we're under grace. Why would I do that? He says, you're dead to the law, not so that you can go sin, but that you might bear fruit for God. To please God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Now let's talk about bearing fruit. What does it mean to bear fruit for God? I love John chapter 15, and we're going to read this chapter very quickly. It says, I am the true vine, Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Listen to that. Jesus says, you are already clean. You're cleaned up. You're not joined to the law. Your schoolmaster that's saying that you are a sinner, the Spirit of the living God has come and cleaned up. You are a resurrected body, and God has set you upon the rock of Christ Jesus. Then he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, Jesus, and I in you, Jesus in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So you've been joined. You are one with Christ. He is your husband. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Today is going to be a day that you abide in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. So as you abide in Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by faith through grace, you abide in Jesus Christ. He bears much fruit, for apart from me, he can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so this is about bearing fruit in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we need to abide in Christ and allow his word, both Old and New Testament, to abide inside of us. We need to still be sanctified and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins and to show us where we need to turn to Almighty God and ask for forgiveness, not for salvation's sake, but for cleaning up the bride, getting the bride ready for the bridegroom. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. When we bear fruit for God, we prove to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Oh, I love this. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Keep the commandment of God. Keep it all together so that you, what's his commandment? Love God and love others. Those two greatest commandments. He makes it very simple. And when you love God and love others, you won't break any of the law. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. He's saying these things to us so that we'll have complete joy, the joy of his salvation. That is, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Do you see how this ties into Romans chapter 7? We don't have an old husband. The old husband's dead. It was dead in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for the law. And now we get the risen Savior, the bridegroom who's coming for his bride. No longer do I call you slave, for the slave does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Look at that. God chose us. Jesus Christ chose us. It isn't like we conjured up this gospel message. He chose us and gave us that message so that we could go bear fruit and that that fruit would be a remaining eternal fruit, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command, that you love one another. Do you see that again? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world's going to hate us. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I had said to you? A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all things they do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoke to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also. You have been with me from the beginning. So what's our application today? The law, or maybe our made-up religion, is not your husband any longer. It's not. All that has died and been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You are going to bear fruit today. You're going to bear fruit that remains today. Think about that. How? Give eternity to someone else. Explain to someone else the good news of Jesus Christ today. What's the good news? The good news is that we were all sinners and Jesus Christ, our Savior, died on the cross for our sins. That he rose again on the third day. And if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Today, share that. Bear fruit in that. Bear fruit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control today. Bear fruit and out loving. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Keeps no record of wrong. You know, is not arrogant. Is not proud. Love believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Bear fruit in loving your neighbor today and loving those around you today. And the world is going to hate you today, because when you love the way that Jesus loves, they don't like it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And I do pray that you would open our eyes to the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcast, to those around us that just simply don't know you yet. God, we pray over the legislative session that starts today. We pray that you would cause there to be such a revival and an awakening in Olympia today like never before. May those who have not bowed their knees, may their hearts awaken to your spirit today and turn to you, the living God, and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. God, we pray against every lying spirit, every demonic spirit, everything that in the spiritual realm that's going to try to do harm this legislative session. And Lord, we ask that you would be glorified through the laws that we make in Olympia this legislative session. God, for those who need revival in the hearts, for the Republican, Democrat, or Independent who once knew you, but they're just dead in their heart, we pray that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh upon them today and that they would confess their sin to you, turn to you, and seek wisdom from you, to know that you have entrusted this day to them, that you are the Almighty God. And God, for that those who are on fire for you, that are alive in you, who are the bride of Christ, I pray that they will bear fruit that remains today, eternal fruit. Let them stand in truth. Let them stand in righteousness. Let them stand in boldness. Let them be peacemakers today, but at the same time be the Lion of Judah. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your newness of life today. Go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.